The scripture reading is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5, and 1 John 5, 16. Let me read Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5 first. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from the under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the side to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen. Enough water to swim in, and a river that could not be forded. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, children of Sunday school. This is the 24th session of God Measures Our Faith. The latter part of Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth, said Jesus. Of course, we say we believe, I believe. But then the Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In the past, in my case, when I was a new believer, when I was in a theological seminary, I was wondering, everybody believes and they are saved. And why would Jesus say that will he find faith on the earth when he comes? And during my ministry, my questions were answered. It's really difficult to find true faith, true spiritual faith. We are living in this kind of generation that is so filled with sins. And there's a prevalence of falsehood. And so it's very rare to find anybody who has real, true faith. And when the Son of Man comes, it's not the last days. Last days means the time between ascension of the Lord until the end. So this means when the Son of Man comes, it means today's generation. Because the Lord's coming is very near. And around this time of the history, will he find faith on the earth? And you know, it is very difficult to find true faith. If you really do have faith, you wouldn't have suffered from any kind of disease. I mean, almost, you wouldn't suffer from diseases, usually. But it's because you don't even have that kind of faith. If you do have spiritual faith, most of the diseases shouldn't be infecting you. This is a time that Jesus mentioned. The number of Christians is decreasing all over the world. It is my regret that some of the believers are also departing from their faith. The world has become so evil, and even the believers fall into temptations and betray the Lord. You see so many signs and wonders and powerful works every year, every month. You are attending this kind of church, and you still, even after seeing signs and wonders, you still depart from God. You leave the church. And where else will they lead a proper Christian life? Even in this kind of church, they lose their faith. Of course, they used to have only fleshly faith and not spiritual faith. So to it is my regret that so many believers are departing from their faith, and the world has become so evil, and even the believers fall into temptations and betray the Lord. Because they fall into sins, they eventually betray the Lord and leave the church. Some of them are leaders and workers of the churches. They betray the Lord by repeatedly committing grave sins that believers in the Lord must never commit, and that deprive of their salvation. Unlike novices in faith, if pastors or church leaders commit such sins, the faith of the church and the church members will be shaken and destroyed. The sins may spread like yeast in the church. So, how can we say their sins are light? The Bible says such sins are sins leading to death. It warns us that they are sins that will certainly put us to death. From today, I will talk about the three main kinds of sins leading to death. I hope you will diligently wash your robes of your heart so that you will not fall into such sins. I hope I will finish as soon as possible this message about sins leading to death. But you don't have to be so rigid. Most of you already have escaped from sins leading to death. So you don't have to be so serious listening to this message. So to the question of the Lord asking when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I ask you in the name of the Lord to boldly say that you have true faith. Dear brothers and sisters and viewing audiences, I said that if leaders who have been believers for a significant period of time commit grave sins depriving of salvation, that sin will be a sin leading to death. So if you are leaders, you have been believers for quite some time, you are not the novices, you are not in the first level of faith, probably, although you have not completely come out of second level of faith, you are out of second level of faith. So in the second level of faith, you stop committing works of the flesh, sins in action. First level faith is just a novices. They don't have any. They don't even have the truth, so they might even commit sins leading to death. So the first level, this is not about first level. So in the second level of faith, especially in the early part of second level of faith, you might commit sins leading to death. So here, let us consider the Bible to think about the three main kinds of sins leading to death. The first one is to crucify the Son of God all over again to put him to open shame. This is our Lord was crucified to redeem us from our sins. And if we crucify the Son of God all over again, it is a sin leading to death. This is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 verses 4 to 6 says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit," so it means you have received the Holy Spirit, "and have tasted the good word of God." You listen to the word of God and the powers of the age to come. So you experienced the power of God, signs and wonders. You saw all these signs and wonders. And then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance. You cannot renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So it's different than when you didn't know the truth. Now you know the truth, you have experienced the Holy Spirit, and if you commit the sins again, it is to crucify the Lord all over again. Because of us, he was crucified. And now you know it, you know the truth. You have experienced the power of the age to come. You have tasted the good word of life. I mean, good word of God. And then, if you put him to open shame again, when we accept Jesus Christ, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our heart. So the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. As we lead a Spirit-filled life in faith, we will experience amazing things. We will taste of heavenly gift, become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and taste the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Unless you are in the first level of faith, none of you can say you've never experienced such things. Like in the summer retreat, when I commanded the rain to stop, the rain stopped and the clouds were split open. And only that area, our summer retreat location, that area didn't have the rain. And the rain stopped immediately and we could see the stars in the sky. And you have experienced all these things. You know the power of God. And you know that God is almighty and you know about God's power. All the climate changing, you've seen the dragonflies. So, God gave you so much grace that you could have faith. If you remember those occasions, it is bigger than splitting, parting the Red Sea, because in the case of Red Sea, the wind blew all night, and it was parted. The wind blew all night, and they could eventually, after they crossed, the wind stopped and stopped blowing, and it came together again. But in the clouds, when the clouds were split open and only our retreat location was open and it didn't have rain. What is important here is, you know, in the up in the sky, how much wind there must be. There's so much wind. If you go on a pilgrimage to Israel, if you go up to and other countries, if you go up to 4,000 meters, it's very difficult to stand outside because the wind is so strong. And the clouds were higher, much higher than 4,000 meters, and there is so much wind, and even though there are such strong winds, the clouds were split open and the clouds didn't come together again. Once the clouds were split open, if they come again, the rain will come again. So, for the rain to stop, the clouds were split open. And even until the next day, it didn't rain. The clouds never came together again. Even after splitting the clouds, they would have come again so that it would rain again, but it didn't happen. So you saw firsthand these things. You experienced those things. And other than that, there were so many other things. And yet, oh, I don't have faith. I can't believe. I can't believe the Bible is true. Oh, I can't believe there is judgment. Does that make sense? No. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, we can believe that we are sinners and Jesus was born on this earth about 2,000 years ago is our personal Savior. Also, we can believe that God is living and heaven and hell are real. Now, who in our church cannot believe that God is almighty and there is heaven and hell? Because there was even separation of spirit and trustworthy people, eight of them, their spirit went to heaven and hell and they testified about heaven and hell that is real. And who can say they don't believe? They can't believe. You know, they are all in spirit at least and they can't lie. And they are really trustworthy people whom you can trust. And they are the ones who testified. And you saw what happened. Just by seeing them, you can understand. In case of Pastor Heason Lee, she went to the lower grave and she was seeing a brother who was being tortured and seeing that she was in agony. And she right away began to shed her tears and even the runny nose. And how can you just do it? You know, even though you repent with so much spirit of repentance, you can't really do that. You know, how can runny nose just flow down immediately? You saw it. And even if you want to do it, you can't really do it. How can you just do it? Because she was in so much sorrow and she was lamenting so much. Because our spirit is seeing the lower grave and hell. And the soul here was feeling it. So that's what was happening. And you saw all these things firsthand. And if you say, I can't believe in heaven and hell, does that make sense? Brothers and sisters, if you think it makes sense, please raise your hands. It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't. And if you say, I can't believe, how can you say that? It's in the Bible, and it's what the Lord said, and I also wrote books about heaven and hell, and will I make up all those stories? Oh, if I can really do that, I would have won. I should have won the Nobel Prize. Once I read the Dante's novel, but it is classical literature that is read by so many people around the world in so many generations. But these books about heaven and hell, these are real. It's not imagination. I didn't go myself and saw, but God explained to me, and that's what I wrote in the book. So also we can believe that God is living and heaven and hell are real. Some of us experience divine healing upon receiving the Holy Spirit, for He burns the germs and viruses. So some minor diseases will be just healed when you receive the Holy Spirit. In our church, many of you are healed of incurable diseases by powerful works of the Holy Spirit. Some of you still have incurable diseases, and you should also have hope. Your walls of sins are so thick and heavy, and you're not healed for that reason, but you should have hope. When I recover my energy 100%, and when I receive the power of recreation, those people will also be healed, I believe. I believe that God will heal them too. And the power of recreation is so powerful. So please listen to... I will also explain about the four levels of power. Without that kind of power, we cannot awaken the whole world. Cancers, third stage, last stage cancers, even if they are healed, you know, they don't even blink their eyes. Upon hearing those news, that kind of news. So many of you are healed of third stage, last stage cancers all over the world. So many of them are healed. Also, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can understand deep in our heart the deep spiritual words, namely words about goodness and love. Some of you had your spiritual eyes opened by special grace, so you see spiritual realm, such as heaven and hell. You receive the solution to problems or experience gifts of the Holy Spirit when you are full of the Spirit. Then you might even say that you want to dedicate your life for the kingdom and righteousness of God and for the church. You do anything that is for God with diligence and dedication. As you keep on acting that way, you are recognized by people and receive titles in the church. To crucify the Son of God all over again, to put Him to open shame, is to befriend the world and corrupt again after having become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasting spiritual things as above. You are diligent in your faith, but from a certain moment, you look back at the world again and you live just like worldly people or even worse. So you also, losing first love is this kind of case too. When do you have first love? You meet God and experience the Holy Spirit, and you become so emotional, and you now know that God is living, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you attend all the worship services and all the meetings. And if you lose that first love, actually, it doesn't even make sense to lose the first love. Following your lust, you seek money, fame, and pleasure, practicing unrighteousness and lawlessness, and living a life that is worse than animals. In case of first love between husband and wife, you married each other because you loved each other. And if you lose that love, it is a tragedy. You loved each other and you got married, and you should love each other until the end. Until you get old and you have to go to heavenly kingdom together. Why do you have to talk about divorcing and those stuff? Why do you want to betray the other? Why do you have to keep another account of money? You have to trust each other and become one completely. Amen. Why do you have to talk about divorce? Because you are one. You're one body. Why do you have to talk about splitting? Especially after having children. What will happen to your children? When people see such believers, they might even criticize the church, saying something like, "What is the use of going to church? Believers are even worse." It means they disgraced God greatly. Furthermore, they might receive strong works of Satan and create schemes to stand against the church and bring it down. Of course, some new believers, if they have weak faith, they go back to the world again and come back again like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I'm not saying such people who come back have committed sins leading to death. It's not that they committed sins leading to death, it's just that they left the church for a while and they come back after repenting. There are many such cases, but I'm not saying they committed sins leading to death. They just repent and come back. But it is about betraying God after having been recognized of their faith, even to become leaders in the church and having received too much grace to pay back during their entire life and having experienced undeniable works of the Holy Spirit. If they leave the church, it means they betray God. They betray the Lord. They are healed by the shepherd, and they experience the Holy Spirit, and they have faith, and they have hope of heaven and hell, and they betray the shepherd. For those who have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and put the Lord into open shame, the spirit of repentance cannot be given to them. It's because their evilness that goes beyond the limit disgraces God. Because they cannot repent, they cannot be forgiven of their sins, and they will have to fall into death. Among the biblical figures, Judas Iscariot, who used to be one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, belongs to this category. Though it was before the Holy Spirit came, Judas witnessed many signs and wonders following Jesus. Also, he must have received so much grace to become one of the 12 who were closest to Jesus. Otherwise, how would he have been able to follow Jesus forsaking all his life? And he sold out his master, Jesus, the Son of God, who came to this earth as the Savior for 30 silver coins. He forsook the grace because he could not cast away his greed for money and power, and because his eyes were covered by his evil. Judas later regretted and tried to return the money, but because he couldn't receive the spirit of repentance, he could not be forgiven. He knew his fault and he regretted. And he returned the money, but he couldn't be forgiven. God didn't accept his repentance. But because he couldn't receive the spirit of repentance, he couldn't be forgiven. Eventually, he killed himself, being unable to bear with the torturing pain. So now he is in the fourth level of hell. Even now he is receiving the punishment. When you mention Judas Iscariot, the pain becomes harsher. The punishment becomes harsher. Many of you must have realized how great such sins are through the 98 and 99 incidents. There were people who said they loved God first and that they were dedicating all their lives, and what did they do? They were practicing many kinds of unrighteousness to cause difficulties in the church and led so many souls to the way of death. I know in detail how I live, and they are miserable. just miserable. Many of them died already. And most of their families were broken, destroyed. And some of them are in jail. And they are giving hard time to their families, family members, asking for money. And none of them is living a good life now. They're all living miserable lives. Brothers and sisters, Jesus died a wretched death on the cross for us, and if you crucify him once again with your own hands, how and through whom will you be forgiven of your sin? Therefore, all believers must circumcise their heart. In order for you not to betray this way, you must circumcise your heart so that you will circumcise all the changing mind, craftiness, falsehood, lying, and betrayal. You have to circumcise all these things so that you will never betray. Oh, I will not betray. You don't know yourself. You don't know how you will act in what kind of situation. It happened all throughout the history. Later, you betray each other. So you have to circumcise your heart to remove all these evils, or you wouldn't know when you will receive the works of Satan and betray God. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else." So circumcise yourselves and remove the foreskins of your heart. Just wash your feet. Just take a bath. After taking a bath, you just have to wash your feet. You have to circumcise your heart. Circumcise the and remove the foreskins of your heart. You have to remove the sinful natures. As Pastor Dongjie Shin last time, as he preached, we have to remove the sinful natures. Otherwise, you still have the sinful natures, and you don't know when this sinful nature will surface, and you will commit sins. You have to pull out the sinful natures themselves. I always give this allegory. If you want to remove the weeds, you can just cut them off. It's no use. You have to pull it out by the root so that the weed will not grow again. Circumcise yourself to yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Who can put out the fire of wrath of God? What crucified Jesus? It is our sins. The sins and iniquities that we committed before knowing the Lord crucified Jesus. Now we who have been forgiven of sins by accepting the Lord must remove the foreskins of our heart that was stained by sins. Otherwise, if we still live in sins following the old habits, the blood of the cross will be meaningless. Furthermore, those sins will crucify the Lord all over again. Therefore, cast away all the sins and evil that make you look back at the world again and commit sins following the flesh. In doing so, you must never crucify the Lord all over again. But rather, I earnestly ask you to wipe out the tears of the Lord who was crucified by leading many souls from sins and evil. Brothers and sisters and viewing audiences, the second sin that leads to death is to willingly and willfully commit sins after receiving the knowledge of the truth. You know the truth. It is sin. It is evil. If you commit, you know there is heaven and hell. There is punishment. And through so many experiences and testimonies, you know. You know the truth. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You've touched it. So after receiving the knowledge of the truth, you willfully and willingly commit sins. You know it is sin and you still commit sins, especially sins leading to death. If you don't know it, it means you are not a leader or a teacher. Those who are in the leadership position, you know that there are sins leading to death and you still commit those sins. So, what happens? Will district leaders or group leaders or cell leaders not know about these sins? They do know. Will Levites not know about these sins? So this is explained in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 29. It says, "For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. They cannot repent, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire, which will consume the adversaries." The fire means fire of hell. Terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? So how great these sins are. The Lord was crucified for us. And you regard as unclean the blood of the Lord. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Here, to go on sinning willfully is to keep on committing sins, knowing they are not going to be forgiven. And you heard so many times that God will not forgive you if you willfully commit sins, and yet they willfully commit sins. 3 years ago, we had a repentance, great repentance. And for 3 years, there were people who willfully committed sins. And this year, this past March 31st, God gave us so much grace. And even after that, some people willfully committed sins. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about such people in detail. Peter advised the believers to be conscious about false prophets who are staining the church with sins. The false prophets followed sensuality and exploited the believers with lies and false teachings. They did many unrighteous things. So they were false teachers, false servants, hired hands. They ask for money to the flock. They borrow money from the church members and they don't pay back. There are so many pastors like that in other churches. And the senior pastor, they say, "We'll build a church," and they borrow the money. They borrow the money and they never pay back. And these church members, they are in so much difficulties. And so many of them, they come to receive my prayer, asking me about what to do. You know, they are all these pastors. They are all hired hands. They give a hard time. And they ask for money. And they say they build a church. And where do they spend the money, actually? They ask for gas and they for rent and whatever is. They are hired hands. They ask for money to the church members. It's been more than 31 years since I opened this church. And if I asked for any money to any of you, if I borrowed any money from any of you, I will pay it back 5, 10 times, even 100 times. If I took any money from the church, even $10 or $1,000, financial committee, just tell me, I will pay it back 100 times more. God is listening to me. And I'm telling all of you, if I borrowed any money from any elders, pastors, or church members, I never did. Even in the beginning of the church, when we were having a hard time, I just prayed to God, and God gave me everything. God supplied me with everything. Sometimes, God moved the heart of the people to bring whatever was necessary. I never asked to lend the money. Of course, they would have lended the money, but it is to give hard time to them. And I never touched the church money. I never borrowed any even $10 from the church money. And I didn't even receive the salary from the church. I just returned it right away. For pastoral ministry, they, of course, I'm the senior pastor, so of course the church has to pay for all the all my gas and repairing my car and everything else. But I never received any money from the church. I just did all of them by myself. I know the church finance, they're not having a good time, so they're always having a hard time, so I just do not receive any money from the church. And I just do it all by myself. And so God is supplying me with from so many believers from other countries. So since the opening of the church, I've been making my living just with what God has been providing me with. And with that, I help the needy. I pay for the translation of the books and other materials. And I supply them with the tuition fees of all the seminary students. I supply the performing arts committee. I never asked for money. I never. If there was such an incident, just tell me, financial committee. I will pay you back 100 times more. If there was anything that was against the truth, I never did. Peter said they were false teachers, so it appears that they were in positions being able to teach. They were not novices in faith who did not know the gospel. And yet, by their own discretion, they corrupted the gospel and went on committing grave sins, depriving of salvation. 2 Peter 2:10 says that they indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring self-willed. They do not tremble. Indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Also, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. They have eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Accursed children. So now we have purification in the church. So sometimes I receive some reports of that kind. There was a man who corrupted another, when left the church in another church, and he tries to contact members of performing arts. He tries to entice. And we know that there is no more man of that kind. But he's still trying to do that. He was still trying to do that. So if you know that kind of thing, you have to boldly remove such a person so that we will not be stained again. We have purified ourselves, and now we are riding on the flow of Spirit to be on the rock of faith and into Spirit, going to Spirit. And if again, we cannot let anything like that happen for us to be stained in sins. If you are one of them, just leave the church quietly. The following passages tell about Balaam, among the biblical figures. The sons of Israel who came out of Egypt reached the land of Moab just before entering into Canaan land. Balak, the king of Moab, asked Balaam to curse Israel because he thought Israel was going to become a big threat to his kingdom. Balaam at first refused the request. Balaam knew how to communicate with God and had the authority to curse and bless. He certainly knew the will of God. He knew that he could never curse the chosen people of God. However, when Balak presented Balaam with a large amount of offerings through his noblemen, Balaam could not drive away the temptation. When he was about to participate in this unrighteousness, God sent his angel to stop him. Balaam, however, was unable to recognize the angel of God, but rather it was his donkey that recognized the angel of God and stopped. This animal, donkey, recognized the angel of God. Even today, it's the same. People, they don't recognize the Savior. The scholars of the Bible, high priests, the priests at the time of Jesus, they couldn't recognize Jesus. Don't they know Hebrew language? But in which the Bible was written, but they don't recognize. But rather, Anna and other people who didn't know so much about the law, when they were filled with the Spirit, they recognized even baby Jesus. It's the same today. Even theologians, you know, they are the ones who disturb the work of God. Not knowing anything, they say things against the signs and wonders. You know, you cannot interpret the Bible with your knowledge. You have to pray in the inspiration and fullness of the Holy Spirit to truly understand the Bible. You cannot interpret the Bible with your knowledge. At the end time, you have to know the Bible clearly, but they don't. But amazingly, even dogs, they recognize the man of God. As many of you experienced, even dogs, they recognize. Even cats, they recognize. Not just donkeys, but dogs and cats. So, in the countryside, or when you visit some church members, there are many dogs. Sometimes, in this area, sometimes they have dogs. So when you visit those newcomers or visit households, and sometimes these dogs, when you show my photo, they just recognize it and run away. Of course, with same with the handkerchief. They recognize. Even dogs recognize the man of God. But so-called men of God, they don't recognize the Savior Jesus and also the man of God. So does that make sense? Even there was a man who was delivering some food to a house of a sorcerer, and she couldn't do her rituals any longer. Only after he left, she could continue with her rituals. And when he went back to get the vessels back, he was going in. When he was going in, he went with a handkerchief. But when he went back later, it was in his outer wear, and he removed it because it was hot. And when there was no handkerchief, she could still do the sorcery. Do her rituals. Even donkeys and dogs and cats, many of you have experienced it. And if you don't recognize the man of God who performs with the signs and wonders of God, it is something pitiful. Balaam, not understanding what was going on, struck the donkey to keep her going. So, God opened the mouth of the donkey to teach him his fault. Through this event, Balaam not just refrained from cursing Israel, but he blessed them according to the command of God. But because he did not cast away his greed for money, power, and fame, instead of him cursing the Israelites directly, he gave the Moabites a scheme to harm them. He was to invite all the men of Israel to observe the sacrifices of their gods. Men of Israel fell to this scheme. They played the harlot and worshipped idols. A curse fell upon them because of this, and 23,000 men died of the plague. So they played a harlot and worshipped idols. So, adultery, playing the harlot, is death. That's why 23,000 men died there right away. As Revelations 2:14 later part says, Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. Those who commit acts of immorality, they were put to death. It's the same today. Those who commit adultery, they are going the way of death eventually. That's why I'm warning you again and again. Balaam is the one who taught the Moabites this scheme. Balaam knew what the will of God was, and God let him know God's will again and again. But he sinned because he loved the price of wickedness. Even today, from the altar, I teach you that it is the way of death, but you ignore, look down on those words, and you still commit sins. It's the same. As a result, he ended up going the way of death. When Israel was conquering the land of Canaan, Balaam also died a wretched death. What is the reason Balaam's sin led him to death? It is because he went against the will of God and the right way again and again, knowing well what God's will was. To those who do this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22 says as follows, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." By knowing the Lord and Savior, you escaped the defilements of the world. You cleaned yourselves from sins. And if you are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. So it is better that you don't know and commit sins than to know their sins and commit sins. But if you still commit sins, it's still sins anyway, so you'll be punished. But you'll be punished less than those who committed sins knowing the truth. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Dogs, they vomit and eat again. And the sow, they, after washing, goes back to wallowing in the mire. Nowadays, probably because they raised pigs and sows in a clean environment. But in the past, it was very dirty. And they empty their bowels and then they always just live there. And also there is always the mire. So they are just, they sleep there, they just live there. They eat and they just lie there. Is it true? So, it's no use to wash them. The dog returns to its own vomit. So just as a dog vomits what he has eaten and eats his own vomit and vomits again, and just as a sow returns to wallowing in the mire after being washed to become clean and become dirty again, if a believer commits a sin, repents of it, and repeatedly commits the same sin again and again, how can we say he is a saved Christian? If he commits sins again, repents again, and commits those same sins again, it's the same as dogs and sows. But as you have witnessed, what was the reality of the things? Within this church, where the members are trying their best to live by the word of God, there were some who committed sins leading to death, repented, and then committed same sins again. The number was more than I ever imagined, and I couldn't help but become shocked. While I was preaching about holiness for the last 30 years, some of you were committing sexual immorality and other abominable things following gratifying your lust. Also, surprisingly, many of you were attending church, cheating the brothers for unrighteous benefits, doing many unrighteous things. You are hired hands. Pastors, they borrowed money from the church members. If you just obeyed my word and not borrowed or lent any money, you wouldn't have to suffer from any hardships. You know, pastors, they are servants of God. God says gold is mine and silver is mine. They are servants of God, so they have to ask God for anything they need. So God will supply them with whatever they need. The owner, the master, will supply the servants with whatever they need, because the servants are working for the master. And they leave this master. And God, especially God, says, gold is mine and silver is mine, and they ask somebody else for money. They ask for help to somebody else. So they are hired hands. They have nothing to do with God. I could not believe the fact that there were quite a few of the pastors, Levites, and leaders who were committing such grave sins that deprive of salvation. The letters of repentance asking me to intercede for them were from the members of whom I knew the faces and names. They were willfully committing sins that I could not even talk about. At first, I was very shocked, thinking how they could do such evil things if they had the least bit of faith or even the least bit of conscience in them. Of course, through many chances of repentance given by the Father God, most of you repented and turned back from your previous ways, dear brothers and sisters. Now, we must never repeat the same kind of wrongdoing. The people of Israel were caught up with harlotry and idolatry just before they went into the Canaan land. As a result, many of them were put to death. Therefore, as we are about to build the Canaan sanctuary, I urge you to be more cautious about sins. This is the way for this church to give glory to God the Father, and the way to receive salvation and blessings that are prepared for you. God has purified our church, and He has purified all the pastors, Levites, and leaders, and He's about to unfold His grand project of world evangelism, so no sin is allowed. No sin can come in to cause the wrath of God. Now, you must never partake in the sins leading to death, which is to crucify the Lord all over again. I ask you to keep this in mind and just keep marching on towards New Jerusalem. When I say there is no forgiveness for sins leading to death, some might ask the following kind of question. The Lord taught us to forgive 70 times 7. So it seems the Lord is a fearful person who does not forgive sinners repeatedly. This kind of question arises when they misunderstand God, who is full of love but is just and free of darkness at the same time. Also, it is an excuse for those people who do not want to turn from sins but still want to shake off the fear of punishment. In 98 and 99, many people, they wanted to destroy the church. They wanted to destroy me so that they could live. So that they could say, God is not with him. God is not with the senior pastor. So that they would be comforted for the sins they were committing. And can I be destroyed? I would only grow stronger. And I was only more known all over the world because I have to accomplish world evangelism at the end of time. And all of them are living such miserable lives. And if they want to be saved, they have to come and repent, and they might even be saved. But those who left the church among elders, some of them are sending their repentance letters for their betrayal. Some of them, they left the church and they became a pastor in another denomination. And he sends me many letters, and he understands that it was a betrayal and he was cheated. And now he wants to be forgiven. In the Bible, many verses that seem to be contradictory form couplets between them and give the perfect meaning and understanding. Words about forgiveness are the same. When the Lord said, forgive 70 times 7, he meant we had to have endless mercy and compassion towards those who commit sins towards us. But this verse cannot be applied to the sins leading to death. Not a single verse in the Bible says, one who has committed grave sins depriving of salvation and does not repent repent can be saved, especially if he does not even intend to repent. Forgiveness and salvation and God's mercy and compassion are grace that is given only to those who completely turn from sins and who struggle against sins to the point of shedding blood to turn from sins. Let us consider the case of King David, who loved God very much. David committed adultery by taking somebody else's wife. To cover up his fault, he even murdered a righteous person by making a scheme. But when the prophet Nathan came and pointed out his sin, he repented immediately. Namely, although he was the king, he repented immediately. After repenting, he never carelessly spoke any word in order not to commit sins before God all throughout his life. God loved this David, who thoroughly repented of his sins and forgave him of all his grave sins. True repentance is something like that of David. God shows endless mercy and compassion for those who truly repent. But although he repented, it doesn't mean he was completely forgiven. Because in the Bible, Satan was always bringing accusations against him, to bring him harm. That is why his sons had hard times. The country was split into two. There were fights among the brothers. And because of this one sin, the retribution came upon all throughout his descendants. But of course, David still had to receive the retribution for his sin. But this trial was also a blessing of God. It's because David became a person who was spotless and blameless through that trial. On the contrary, how did Saul act? Samuel pointed out his sin, but he just kept on committing sins without repenting at all. Eventually, he was forsaken by God. Even if they believe, if they willfully and knowingly commit sins time and again, God will forsake them. The Holy Spirit in them will be quenched, and their consciences become seared as with a hot iron, so they cannot repent. As a result, their names are erased from the book of life, and they cannot be saved. Instead, their names will be inscribed in the book of death in hell. Once your name is written in the book of death, it is death. It is same as your name. You are punished. But even though your sins are in your names were in the book of death, some of your names could be erased, and you had many couple of times. God gave you this chance, and to bring down that kind of chance, I had to mourn before God so much for so many years, and to gain such a chance. And so, if you believe just a little bit, please don't commit any sins. Especially, don't commit sins leading to death because of the time. I just pray for the sick shortly. And please make everything short. Father God, thank you. Lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Give them spiritual and physical health. All germs and diseases, go away. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Be perfect. Light come, all diseases, germs, go away. Light come. Father, protect them throughout this week. And protect all the church vehicles, church members' vehicles, and give them strength and power, and let the drivers not make any mistakes. Father, protect them all in all respects. And this week we have Christmas Eve, performing arts. We have Christmas. Father, bless us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.